Welcome to these Meditation and Philosophy Podcasts. I'm Al McGee, speaking to you from Vancouver in British Columbia, Canada. Well, as the end draws near, will my soul be full or empty? I think it's a question worth asking. Will I be able to say in my final moments that it is well with my soul? Well, I hope so. I'd like ideally to be fully cognizant of soul, even as the body gives out. I once read that our inmost soul is, and I quote, the energy of light and love, and that the goal of spiritual practices, study, prayer, and meditation, is to realize this fullness of soul at the heart of your being. The great family therapist Virginia Satir was someone whose expertise was to discern the dimension of soul in the people she encountered. She was truly a seer, that is, someone gifted with the ability to behold another human being's inner core. She could sense the shining light of spirit in everyone she met. Her special ability was to make contact with that essence. I watched videos not long ago of Virginia Satir in action making contact with people, her specialty, connecting with them at the level of soul. When asked about her approach, Virginia explained, "The question for me was never whether people had spirits, but how I could contact them. That's what I set out to do." So what was the key? What was her secret? Well, she says, "My means of making contact was my own congruent communication and the modeling that went with it," which is to say that she was able to discern soul in others to the degree that she was in contact with her own. She continues, "It was as though I saw through to the inner core of each being, seeing the shining light of the spirit trapped in a thick black cylinder of limitation and self-rejection. So my effort was to enable the person to see what I saw, and then together we could turn the dark cylinder into a large lighted screen and build new possibilities. I consider," says Virginia Satir, "the first step in any change is to contact the spirit. Then together we can clear the way to release the energy for going toward health." Now, upon observing Virginia Satir's style, someone exclaimed, "You make very special contact with everybody. The impact you have on individuals when first meeting them is very noticeable." So she was asked, "Well, how do you do that?" Virginia responded, "Let me see if I can answer it like this. Remember that I see the individual's internal essence. That's what I'm connecting with. The most important thing about a human being is their worth and respecting that. That's what's paramount. I couldn't think about moving with anybody unless I had gone through that step of respecting and validating the person at his or her level of essence." So for Virginia Satir, the essence of a human being is a hidden potential that seeks to be realized in existence. And her calling was to help human beings to bring forth their own soulfulness. So she's the seer who recognized the essence within human beings. Well, late in his life, the great filmmaker Alfred Hitchcock appears likewise to have recognized and realized his own soul. He called a Jesuit priest to his home to celebrate a mass. The priest describes walking into a room where across from him were the bound volumes of the movie scripts, The Birds, Psycho, and North by Northwest. There they all were. And then the priest comments, Hitchcock had been away from the church for some time, and he answered the responses in Latin the old way. But the most remarkable sight was that after receiving communion, he silently cried, tears rolling down his cheeks. So during his final days, the heart of Alfred Hitchcock opened up as the tears flowed. Now, about the old man's spiritual breakthrough, the priest comments, "Some people find these late in life turns to religion suspect, a sign of weakness or of one's losing it. But," says the priest, "nothing focuses the mind as much as death. And I suspect that in facing death, one may at last see soberly what is finally worth one's attention." But the question that arises here is, well, why wait for old age? Early in her life, the meditation master, Guru Mai, had a life-transforming realization. She described herself as a fragmented human being who was looking for something more, looking for wholeness, looking for integration. Now, to find that wholeness, she had first to observe what she was in front of 1,000 mirrors, As she puts it, in this mirror I am this, in that mirror I am that, in yet another mirror something else. So here is a self-confrontation as she sees herself, different aspects of herself in all of these different mirrors, 1,000 mirrors reflected back to her a fractured personality. I watch, she says, the myriad reflections of feelings, thoughts, and actions. But then she says, grace struck and everything changed. Grace struck and shattered every mirror until only one mirror remained. That remaining mirror revealed her as a separate, perhaps stubborn young woman who had been insisting that she could live her life in her own terms without reference to God. But at this point in her life, she could no longer block the power of grace. The destructive power of grace took her down. And in response, she says, my whole being wept, my senses abandoned me, my world crumbled. God's grace penetrated through every barrier that she had set up. Protesting, she exclaims, people say grace is a shelter. Why then am I losing all I have? She felt hunted down. I became the prey of grace, she exclaimed. But then the sword of light shone brilliantly, and this, the strongest mirror, exploded. With the result, not a trace remained of that non-existent life. All that remained was my love for God. Pretty astonishing. Well, I think this is precisely the work of grace in our lives. It destroys every obstacle that stands in the way of the realization of God. May, therefore, this blessedly destructive grace remove every obstacle that stands in the way of full realization.